The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the battle for 1600.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream today.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
Good to be here with all of you. Good to be here in for such a good friend, Dr. G, who deserves a day off now and then. Well, wow, today is quite a day as we watch what's unfolding there on Capitol Hill. We're seeing quite a circus, shall we say, and I'm being generous, right? They're going after her for anything and everything they can, it seems. And we're going to start here with cut one, Senator Hawley, really calling them out for what we're seeing.
Judge Barrett is a Catholic. We all know that. Heck, 65 million Americans are Catholics, and many, many, many millions more are Christians of other persuasions. Are they to be told that they cannot serve in public office? That they are not welcome in the public sphere unless the members of this committee sign off on their religious beliefs? And I would just say to my Democrat colleagues that these years now, this pattern and practice, as we say in the law, of religious bigotry, because that's what it is. When you tell somebody that they're too Catholic to be on the bench, when you tell them they're going to be a Catholic judge, not an American judge, that's bigotry. The pattern and practice of bigotry from members of this committee must stop.
You know, it's a crazy time, right? When, you know, suddenly now being a Catholic is something that they can use against you. And yet this is something that they are trying to use against her. When we watch these hearings, you know, we would like to see, you know, some kind of a dignity, right, in all of them. But dignity is not what you're seeing right now. They are going after her because it is worth it to them to go after her in any which way or form they can. Here we have Senator Sheldon saying she's basically going to get rid of the whole Obamacare, which to some might actually be a good thing.
The big secretive influences behind this unseemly rush see this nominee as a judicial torpedo they are firing at the ACA. So I hope Republicans consider what's at stake for the many people who depend right now in this pandemic on ACA health coverage.
You know, this is the big sticking point, right? They're saying, oh, they brought her in just in time for the ACA thing. Look, for them to try and call this illegitimate, and that's what they're doing, right? Kamala Harris saying exactly that earlier today, saying that somehow that this is not legitimate because she's being ushered in effectively just days before an election. I'm sorry. You know what? America elected the president of the United States for 4 years, didn't we? And so it's not for 3.5. It's not for 3.75. It's for 4 years. He has a term. And constitutionally, thus, he has an obligation to nominate somebody for that position. I would also argue that it's kind of important to have someone on the Supreme Court at a time like this. You want a full court. Because I can guarantee you, unfortunately, we are going to be looking at a hanging chads scenario on steroids. That's what's going to happen. As we go forward to November 3rd, you have two sides that are going to dig in, and they're going to dig in hard. And President Trump is right to question all these mail-in ballots. We've seen in Pennsylvania. We've seen in Wisconsin. Ballots being found on the side of the road. In Pennsylvania, ballots from our soldiers being found on the side of the road, including 7 ballots for Donald Trump, 9 in total. You know, you may say, oh, that's not a whole lot. It doesn't really matter. But you know what? Every single vote of every single American matters right now. So we can't be okay with some of them getting lost in the mail. I don't know if you guys saw, there was a fantastic piece in the New York Post a couple of months ago in which they interviewed somebody who formerly was with the Democratic Party and worked as an operative for the Democratic Party to help steal votes. He's on record saying this, to help steal votes in places like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. It has happened. In fact, they've gone door to door, according to this gentleman. They've collected ballots. They've taken the ballots home, opened them up, put the new ones in, the envelopes. They've collected the envelopes, put the new ballots in, and then mailed those off. So, you know, we have to actually be concerned about this. And at a time when we're risking so much, November 3rd is right around the corner. Don't you want a full court? Don't you actually want to make sure that you get 9 justices there? So if anything gets especially sticky, we have somebody there who can help decide this. Well, they don't want that, of course, because they're fearful that it would be decided in Donald Trump's favor as opposed to Joe Biden's favor. And yet they're willing to effectively throw our system of government, our system which has worked well for hundreds of years, throw it out the window, get rid of the whole separation of powers. What? So they can pack the courts, so they can get their way time and time again. Even they know it was a dumb move. I want to go to cut four. Here's Joe Biden back in 1983.
President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make.
So let me describe in some detail. In the summer of 37, Roosevelt had just come off a landslide victory over Alf Landon. And remember this old adage about power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Corrupted by power, in my view, unveiled his court-packing plan. He wanted to increase the number of justices to 15, allowing himself to nominate those additional judges. He took an act of courage on the part of his own party, institutionally, to stand up against this power grab.
Yeah, you know what? It's a power grab. Even Joe Biden knows it's a power grab. It was a power grab back in the 1930s when FDR tried it, and he was in his own party, shot him down. In other words, we don't pack the courts because then your courts turn into a system that, well, is not a whole lot different than the House of Representatives, right? Then all of a sudden, before you know it, you go from 9 justices to 12 to 13 to boom, boom, boom. You're just going to keep going higher and higher and higher because every single party that gets in will want its way with its justices. The court is meant to be slow. It's meant to turn over very rarely. We're supposed to only have 9 people there. It's worked pretty well for quite a long period of time. And yet Kamala Harris, political animal that she is, here she is in 2019, actually saying she might be open to it.
I will say that I am interested in having that conversation, and I'm open to this conversation about extending the number of people on the United States Supreme Court.
So what are we to think? When Joe Biden somehow thinks it's not even worth answering right now, he won't even tell us whether or not he intends to pack the court. And then when he's really pushed, he said he didn't think that Americans deserved to know that. You don't think we deserve to know what you intend to do with the Supreme Court? I'm sorry, buddy. You lost me there. All right, well, you lost me with some of the socialist policies, which we're going to talk about a little later in the program. But when you're saying that you don't think that your average American deserves to know whether you're going to pack the court or not, this is some pretty serious stuff. I mean, this is stuff of banana republics. This is not the United States of America. We are looking at a system right now, increasingly, that feels much more like some of those sketchy places down in Latin America than anything that we've ever known. And this is a scary time, because whether it's economic policy or whether it's judicial policy, they're willing to just throw everything out the window to remake the world as they see fit, where they will have the power at the expense of the individual. Let's not forget the individual in all of this, because the individual has so lost their presence, right? Washington just doesn't seem, at least the left does not seem to care about the individual anymore, which is why they think you can have a mask mandate, despite the fact that it's not constitutional. Somehow he's finally figured that one out. And they think that you can just pack the courts and that people don't even deserve to know if that's your intention. They're going to go after Amy Coney Barrett hard. We're watching them do that right now. This is a political machine at work. We have so much more coming up on the program. My good friend Greg Jarrett is going to join us to talk a little bit more about these hearings. Don't go anywhere. I am Trish Regan. I am in for the amazing Sebastian Gorka. I'll see you right back here.
Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Oh, it's great to be in for Seb today. Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to have with me for my next guest, one of my very good friends. Actually, we used to have an office right next to each other. The wonderful legal analyst over at Fox, author of the new book Witch Hunt and also The Russia Hoax, my friend Greg Jarrett. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Trish, always great talking to you.
It's good to talk to you. So you're watching these hearings like I am, and what do you think?
Well, it's exactly what I thought it would be. The Democrats on the committee immediately engaged in polemic rants. And, you know, they actually asked almost no questions. You know, I'll give you an example. Cory Booker of New Jersey, the U.S. Senate on the Judiciary Committee, a Democrat, spent his entire time reading from what appeared to be a speech written by someone, maybe him, in a binder, turning page after page. He didn't ask her a single question. He went on a rage against Trump, a rant against Republican policies and conservative orthodoxy, and it really had very little to do with the confirmation of the woman sitting before her, a Supreme Court nominee. And, you know, I think this is pretty much a signal that Democrats realize it's a fait accompli, that, you know, it always comes down to math. And, you know, Booker in particular kept saying, he must have said it 24 times, this is not normal. It's not normal to hold this kind of a hearing. I was happy to see Senator Crapo on the other side of the aisle correct him with evidence and facts and pointed out this is not at all unusual. It's happened 29 times in an election year in which a president has nominated somebody to the Supreme Court.
No,
he could have gone further and said, actually, there have been six presidents who have nominated Supreme Court justices after they lost re-election, but before their successor was sworn in, most notable among them, John Adams, who appointed the greatest Supreme Court justice of all, in my judgment, Chief Justice John Marshall. So, you know, it was a bit of a charade, to use Booker's term, but he didn't mean it the way I mean it.
No, look, I mean, it is their duty. It's the president's constitutional duty. And I don't care if he, you know, he was already on his, I don't care if it was, you know, the 18th of January. As long as you're in that office, right, Greg? As long as you're in that office, you have an obligation. People have elected you to do the following. And one of those responsibilities includes nominating a Supreme Court judge. Wow. But, you know, they're politicizing this like they do everything else. And they're really angry at the idea that she's going to get in there. If she gets in there, which I do believe she will, if they, for some reason, are able to see some kind of clean sweep and a Democrat, if we witness a Democratic takeover of the government, which I don't believe will happen. But nonetheless, you can't dismiss it. They're saying they're not going to answer the question of whether or not they're going to pack the courts. What does that signify to you? What does it say that they might do?
Well, Joe Biden in particular tells me in no uncertain terms that he is supremely arrogant, and Kamala Harris as well. I mean, Biden was caught on tape saying Americans don't deserve to know his position on a vital issue before the election, only afterwards. No, Americans are entitled to ask questions about all relevant issues and hear the answers of the candidates. And it's really, to me, it's astonishing that so far Biden has really gotten away with it, saying, I'm not going to tell you. Which, by the way, Trish, means that he's in favor of packing the court. And, you know, there was Kamala Harris during the vice presidential debate saying, you want to talk about packing the court? You're the ones who are packing the court. No, nominating people to fill the 9 seats on the Supreme Court, as it has been for more than 150 years, is not packing the court. Packing the court means that you add justices to change the composition of the court. FDR, of course, famously tried it and failed because it was the wrong thing to do and everybody knew it, even those who backed Franklin Roosevelt. So, you know, this is essentially an end run. The Democrats don't like the result, so they're, you know, changing the rules. Otherwise, they're taking their ball and bat and going home.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Greg Jarrett. You can follow him at Greg Jarrett on Twitter. He is the author of Witch Hunt, and he is a really brilliant legal mind. Again, I mentioned Witch Hunt, the Russia hoax as well, just a terrific, terrific book. And I know how hard you worked on those. I'm a little worried, though, Greg, you might have another book in the making, because we're talking about hanging chads on steroids. And I'm very concerned about sort of where we're heading on November 3rd and what the aftermath might be. What's your quick take?
You know, I was there during 2000 down in Florida for about 45 days. I covered it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I'd never seen anything like it. We may see a repeat of that in a greater extreme, with a greater number of states uncertain, because judges, activist judges, are now making up the law in their respective states and changing the law, which is exactly what President Trump has tried to stop by virtue of his 200-some-odd federal court nominations. And so, you know, there's no telling what's going to happen. We'll all be on the edge of our seats, but that seat may get a little uncomfortable if it goes on week after week.
Mm-hmm. Is there a real power grab going on here overall? I mean, in terms of the reach, right, of the left, when you look at, even you combine it with what has happened with this lockdown and this pandemic and the challenges that our entire society has faced as a result of all this, how do you characterize it?
Well, I first started writing about how lockdowns are wrong. They're un-American. Shutting down business is the wrong thing to do. You will cause more harm than good. I started writing that in March. You can go back to my website, dgregjarrett.com, and read all the columns, March and April. And I think I've been proven correctly. The damage to lives and livelihoods has been really enormous. And yes, 214,000 Americans have lost their lives in all of this, but nobody calculates the other collateral damage that's occurred by lockdowns. And look, there were better solutions, and I wrote about it in my columns. Let's protect the people most vulnerable, and we know who they are, and we could have done that. Instead, we destroyed, hundreds of thousands of businesses across America and left a lot of people struggling to make ends meet, and it could have been otherwise.
Greg, it is so good to talk to you, really and truly. I mean that. I miss you, and I hope you're well, and I'm going to keep looking forward to all of your writings there on thegregjarrett.com. Thank you so much, sir. Okay, we've got much more coming up here. Trish Regan in for Dr. G.
FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at tunnel2towers.org. That's tunnel2towers.org. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan in for Sebastian Gorka today on Capitol Hill. Today, the Senate Judiciary Committee is beginning confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett to serve as the next justice on the U.S. Supreme Court. In remarks prepared for her opening statement, Judge Barrett notes, quote, "I believe in the power of prayer, and it has been uplifting to hear that so many people are praying for me." Now, in past Senate hearings, Judge Barrett has had to face some scurrilous attacks on her Catholic faith, but she triumphed. She triumphed, much like Jack Denton did after Alliance Defending Freedom helped defend his rights at Florida State University, simply for sharing, in private, his Catholic beliefs with other Catholic students. A smear campaign was started, and Jack was removed as president of the Student Senate. But as we told you earlier this month, Alliance Defending Freedom filed a lawsuit against the university. And here is the update for you. On Friday, October 9th, the Florida court ruled that Jack's free speech rights had been violated and ordered Florida State to pay him as president of the Student Senate while the lawsuit continues. ADF can only fight and win religious freedom battles like this with your help. So please go to SebGorka.com and click on the ADF banner. Your gift of $100 or more defends religious freedom from coast to coast. Go to SebGorka.com or you can call 877-412-5888. That's 877-412-5888 to join Seb Gorka and me in supporting Alliance Defending Freedom. So good to have you all here today. And while we are watching quite a spectacle there on Capitol Hill, and we have seen the left really go after Amy Coney Barrett quite hard, because she would really tip the balance in the favor of a conservative view of our Constitution. They're on the court, and they don't want it, they don't like it, and they have tried in numerous ways to prevent this from happening. I mean, think about it. Just everything that we have been through as a country over the last 4 years, nearly 4 years, it's really incredible. Right? I mean, the whole Russia ordeal, all of that, then impeachment over phone call. And now, you know, Nancy Pelosi is talking about invoking the 25th Amendment. Again, these things I mentioned earlier, they feel very banana republic-like. This is not the United States of America. We have peaceful transitions here. We don't try and take down our presidents because we just don't like them or we don't like their policies. That's not how it works. You see, the American people voted him in. So you can't just say, okay, I'm going to look at the 25th Amendment. By the way, she wouldn't get to first base on that. Let's be very clear. That's not going anywhere. So this is just her way of trying to gin up more controversy. We don't need more controversy. Thank you very much. Right now, what we need is to get back to work. We need America to reopen. You think about some of the great sort of stellar indications we've already gotten, right? That we can get back to work. We know how to do what we know how to do. The Atlanta Fed is talking about the economy growing 33% in the third quarter. You've got an expectation for stronger earnings this quarter. JP Morgan Chase is officially kicking off a lot of these earnings for the third quarter tomorrow. You've got unemployment at 7.9%. That's like half what people thought it would be earlier in the year. We're already at 7.9%. So in other words, there's many, many good things happening. We just need them to keep on happening. But the only way they keep on happening is if we continue having our freedoms, our freedom of speech, our freedom to protect ourselves, our freedom to prosper. And right now, all of that is under attack. And they're willing to possibly pack the court and not even tell you, not even tell American voters what their plan is. I'm sorry. That's not okay. You can't just say, I'm not going to tell you. I think we can only interpret that as they will. But it's even worse than if they came out and said, we will. You understand, when they're saying you don't deserve to know, that's something else entirely. And that's this big bureaucratic machine thinking it knows everything more so than we do, that it knows better. Well, I'll tell you, the American people know better. We as individuals know what's right for us, and we know what's right for our country. Coming up, we're going to have with us one of the president's lawyers, Jenna Ellis, who's going to talk about what she's seeing there on display on Capitol Hill as we watch Amy Coney Barrett, and mark my words, she will become the next Supreme Court Justice. Don't go anywhere. I'm Trish Regan in for Seb today. I'll be right back.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Thank you so much, Seb. Good day to be in for you as we watch all of this unfold in Washington, D.C. We are seeing the Democrats, unfortunately, attack Amy Coney Barrett, who will be the next Supreme Court Justice. I'm joined right now by Jenna Ellis, constitutional law attorney. She's also senior legal advisor to the president, as well as counsel to the president. And Jenna, first of all, great to talk to you, as always. I'm curious to get your thoughts on what we're watching right now, because it seems that they really are trying to exert some of their frustrations out on poor Judge Barrett.
Yes, well, great to join you too, Trish. And you know, the hearing this morning, when all the Democrats were talking, I was like, they went into the wrong committee room. This is clearly, they think that this is a policymaking venture on airing their grievances for the Affordable Care Act and the upcoming Supreme Court decision. And why is Amy Coney Barrett even there? So, I mean, this just shows that Democrats don't want to be held accountable. They just want to push through their partisan activist policies. And they are not there to vet a incredibly competent, qualified judge who will be part of an impartial judicial branch. The Democrats simply want to continue to manipulate government power for their own purposes. And so this was nothing more than a partisan political maneuver 3 weeks from the election. It was an emotional appeal, and it had nothing whatsoever to do with confirming a United States Supreme Court justice. And I thought it was incredibly rude and disrespectful to Amy Barrett to not even acknowledge really anything going on in that vein and what should be a reasonable confirmation hearing. But you know, I at least have to say this, at least so far, it hasn't been as terrible as what they did to Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, yeah, no, that would be kind of hard to top, unfortunately. It was pretty awful what we saw with Kavanaugh, for sure. You know, you're taking on a lot, I think, when you become a Supreme Court justice, because you're just exposing yourself to all of this and the politics of the moment, which are quite severe, shall we say. Let me ask you your thoughts on this talk of packing the court. I mean, wow, right? Like, a system that's worked really well for hundreds of years, we're going to suddenly throw that out, possibly because they're not getting their way?
Yeah, well, that's what the Democrats have tried to do, and what they have made no apology for and have not even tried to hide, that they don't like America's constitutional system, because with our separation of powers, they actually are held accountable, and they have been stymied in their attempt to push through unconstitutional measures. And so their response now, rather than saying this is the American system, the Supreme Court's the law of the land, they're just going to try to tear down the system by redefining what court packing even means, and by expanding the court if they get in power. This showed clearly today why President Trump and conservatives must be reelected in 2020, and why we have to continue to have a White House and a conservative majority, at least in the Senate. We have to retake the House to make sure that we have actual constitutional principles that are objective, that remain in place, especially for the judiciary. That has been one of President Trump's best successes. That has been one of the biggest promises that he has kept, is putting on originalists on the bench. And for the Democrats to try to redefine court packing as simply filling judicial vacancies, which has happened since the Constitution was written and was ratified, that we have Article 3, which is the whole federal judiciary, and that whole process, is absolutely absurd. And if the Democrats think that the American people are dumb enough to buy that argument, well, they have another thing coming. We are smart. We are literate. We understand the five pages of the Constitution. They're not actually that dumb. They're just pretending to be.
Yeah, because I guess it serves their purpose right now at this particular moment in time. Let me ask you about what you're thinking for November 3rd, because we've heard Hillary Clinton say in an interview with her former communications director on Showtime's The Circus that Joe Biden should not concede no matter what. And she basically said he needs to lawyer up, given that you are a counselor to the president, given that you are one of his legal advisors. What are you guys doing? Can you tell me to try and counter some of that? Should you run into a situation that basically makes hanging chads in Florida feel like Disney World?
Yeah, well, you know, of course, the Trump campaign is fully prepared to preserve and protect our electoral college system, the right of every American to have their vote freely and fairly counted once when they are an eligible voter, and not to have it diluted by fraud. And so this is something where President Trump has been very clear over this whole year that Democrats, again, are trying to manipulate the rules to their own advantage. They're trying to change election law in Democrat-held and led states just months and now weeks before Election Day. And so what we're doing is not a partisan effort by any means. It's to make sure that every American, regardless of who they're voting for, and this isn't just about the presidential election, it's all the way down ticket, to make sure that Americans can trust in the legitimacy of our free and fair elections. So we have the Lawyers for Trump Coalition. We have the RNC working for us. You can go to protectthevote.com to see where we're fighting. We've had some great legal victories up front, and we'll continue to fight where we need to November 3rd and beyond.
Do you feel like it's going to be, you know, kind of difficult, choppy waters in November?
Well, I think that if all of the American people who have shown up in the primaries, for example, I mean, forget the polls, what shows how much enthusiasm is behind President Trump is seeing how many people turned up in the primaries that was uncontested for an incumbent president and showed that much enthusiasm. If the American people turn out and every person who cares about this country actually gets out and votes, and then President Trump will win in a landslide. And hopefully then we will only have to be concerned about potentially some of these other elections that are a little closer potentially. But that's why every American needs to vote all the way down ticket. We need to retake this country for red, for conservatism, and to make sure that we are upholding our rule of law and the Constitution. So I think that we won't have a fight on our hands if every person who cares about this country and our system turns out and votes for President Trump and all the way down ticket.
At Jenna Ellis, ESQ is her Twitter handle. Thank you, Jenna, for joining us today. She's an attorney for the President of the United States. Jenna Ellis, everyone. Well, one of the things that Jenna was just talking about was all the concern about mail-in ballots and making sure that those are all safe. We have the call lines lit up. People do want to talk about that. Is your vote safe? Do you feel that your vote is safe? Judy's going to be joining us from Brooklyn and a few others right after this.